Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 30th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We had a lot of interesting starts yesterday, some bad and some good. We had Joey Estes do well. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. All that to say, just who is this guy? He goes for the Athletics. He has good IVB on his 4-seamer, but really it's not that good. It just needs to be located up. He has decent secondaries. Just, he's fine. And to know someone who is just fine is good these days because you can find streams with guys who are just fine. I really regret not putting Estes above Frankie Montas as my stream pick of the day yesterday. Inside the question will start here. I really debated with it, but I just felt at the end of the day that Estes wasn't going to do a whole lot, and he didn't. But it was enough. 5 innings, 1 run. So good to see that. And just note Joey Estes moving forward as a potential deeper stream. You have Tarek Skubal looking good against the Pirates. Everything is cool there. You have Corbin Burnes looking like an ace against the Red Sox. That's awesome. Low strikeout still, but 16 whiffs. The cutters are honestly weird and not really as well spotted as they used to, but whatever. Andre Pallante, who the heck is this? If you remember him, he's a cutter guy, really cutter slider. 4-seamer is like a cutter, think like Sonny Gray-esque, as he went against the Reds, 6 innings, 0 runs, 2, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. It's really boring, so like, think of the most boring Drew Rasmussen, and a little bit worse than that, because he still has too many walks. Each of his breakers had a 33% strike rate, so not quite the kind of guy that I want to go for. It's all very north-south, and it was kind of interesting seeing each of these pitches have their own columns. Like, you look at the Baseball Savant, or actually, if you go on our game logs, which, by the way, I got to announce this really quickly. I know we're going to talk about Andre Pallante and how his pitches look. You should do it on our player pages. Why? Our game logs have been revamped. We've improved them massively. Huge shout-out to our engineer, Jeff Nyveen. Our game logs are snappy. They are quick. We've added IVB and HAVAA inside of the stuff table, a new table for every single individual start. We have added game logs for all seasons of their career now. You can look up games between seasons. You can do date ranges between seasons inside of our game log. It's super fast, so you can look at individual pitch performance. Fast, it's instant. You can do lefty-righty splits instantly. It's all fixed and great. The game logs are just massively improved. Go check them out. And of course, if you didn't know, all my SP roundups for every single starting pitcher are inside of those game logs on their player page on the pitcher list site. So go to that. You can click on any single game. You see the expanded pitch information. It is awesome. Truly check it out. Andre Pallante, if you go there, you'll see that you're going to have red on the left. Then you're going to have sinkers after that and sliders. And then you're going to have curveballs like all in different columns. Because he is a north-south guy. That's why he has a cut fastball. It makes all the sense. He's really like a birthday party here because of the secondaries. He needs that breaker to really be that Drew Rasmussen, Ashcraft type. And without that, yeah, he's not very good. You have Christopher Sanchez against the Giants. He's now throwing 96. What? He hit 97.4 in a sinker. This was a guy who was sitting 92 and change last year. And we got excited seeing 94 and change. Now it's 96 for Christopher Sanchez. That's absolutely bonkers. He destroyed the Giants. 37% CSW with a 13/35 called strike rate on that sinker. Changeup played well off of it. We actually even saw sliders and cutters be low and good. Yeah, this is the best version of Sanchez I've seen. I know this was against the Giants and all, but the skills were as good as ever. I'm super excited about that. No more calling him a cherry bomb unless he's absolutely terrible next time, which I don't expect because this was real and, oh, that's exciting. Dane Dunning against the Diamondbacks. He had a still-ill start last week. Wasn't very good. And then 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks here. So much better. He was able to eclipse 90 here after going under 80 last week. He got the win. It was called strikes on a sinker, and that's not something I really want to lean into. Dane Dunning can do that at times, and it is the Rangers, so sure, against Detroit, if you want to use that for a win chance, by all means, but it's not really something that I do want to go for. James Paxton, only 3 innings against the Mets. No, he's not injured. I saw that. I was like, what? He's injured already? This is it. We knew this was coming. Nope. The Dodgers are being really smart. They said, look, you went on 4 days rest, and we've been trying to make it so that all of our pitchers do not pitch on 4 days rest. They do 5 days rest. So because of this, we're only going to limit you to 3 innings. Wow. It actually worked out, you know, and he gets the Pirates next, and he's going to go longer than this. So that's kind of interesting, and the Dodgers are making this work. Now, Alec Manoah against the White Sox, 1.2 innings. Now, he is hurt. Elbow discomfort. What a ride it's been, Alec Manoah. Yes, we obviously move on. Luis Gil against the Angels is still dope. It makes us feel dope. 8 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts, 15 whiffs, 37% CSW. Ah, he is looking so, so good. 75% strike rate on the changeup. No whiffs, but he got strikes. And that's really what matters because everything else is going to do all the whiffs for him. You got 15 whiffs, 0 on that changeup. That means the four-seamer stepped up. And also the slider did, 68% strike rate. 3-pitch mix, all returning strikes. Domination for 8 innings. Think about this. Luis Gil used to throw 90 pitches or so, and he wouldn't get out of the fifth. Now, 8 innings. Yes, it's the Angels, but he threw strikes. As long as he throws strikes, he will survive and get outs. And he still had 9 strikeouts. This is, oh, so good. I'm excited to watch Luis Gil against a better team. This is the Angels. And you're saying, what, Nick? You just want him to get good ratios, don't you? Like, why would you want him to face a tougher opponent? Because I want him to prove to us, truly, that he is something new and elite. And we're not really going to see that until June 9th when he gets the Dodgers. So we do get the Twins next. I expect him to continue to soar there. But I'm very excited for that start. I think that Luis Gil is just going to cruise again against the Twins. And then I really, really just hope keep those strikes alive with the sound of music. We have Justin Verlander repeating what he did against the Athletics. 7 innings of 9 strikeouts. Really good four-seamer command up top, but then also just having the secondaries working. Like, this is great, and we feel really good about Verlander right now. We have Seth Lugo against the Twins. He got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, but it's honestly more like classic Lugo. 9 base runners, 5 Ks. If you saw my video on Seth Lugo, you would have seen that, yeah, I didn't really believe his previous start. I thought he just got away with so much against the Rays. And this is Seth Lugo. And that's fine. He's pretty much a Toby. Maybe he's a Holly, that he has the strikeout rate that he can hold at like 23% or so. But not someone who's going to be an elite ratio guy. Like, it's more like a 3.7 ERA with like a 1.20 whip. And again, that's fine. You're going to get some wins. You're going to get some strikeouts. It's cool. He's just not that ace that we just saw over like the last like 3 weeks. George Kirby against the Astros redeemed himself. And not only redeemed himself, but he finally acted like the pitcher that we wanted him to be for so long. It's kind of crazy how like George Kirby is revamping himself and just trying all the things at once. And it worked. 6 innings, 100 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts against the Astros. So what Kirby has done, and what's bothered me so much over the years, is that Kirby generally throws his four-seamers in the zone all the time. And he's like, no, I refuse to get them out of the zone. The thing is, in this start, George Kirby's four-seamer, yeah, his zone rate was just 25%. 25%! But here's the thing. It got 50% strikes. How did it do that? Because he got whiffs upstairs. He got swings out of the zone. I'm a huge fan of that for George Kirby. And his slider, oh boy, his slider. This pitch finally is like waking up. Instead of just being that strike pitch, it actually is being located where it should be, which is down and glove side. 60% strike rate on this one, 5 whiffs on the pitch. Sinker got called strikes as it took over in the zone instead of the four-seamer. I'm a huge fan overall of this new approach from George Kirby. Now, can he surprise with as many sinkers in the future? I'm not exactly sure, but I think that George Kirby is trying something new and it's working. And getting whiffs across the board on stuff is lovely to see as well. So George Kirby, good stuff. I'm more encouraged. You should be too. And I really hope that he does this again moving forward. And I got to mention, Mackenzie Gore is dope and makes us feel dope. I mean, it's crazy. That this was against Atlanta. 5.1 innings, got the win. 100 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 10 Ks. Do you believe, like, guys, does he need to do anything more now? Mackenzie Gore is just... is cooking. A 2.91 ERA, a 29% K rate. I know the whip is high, 128. I get it. He has a 9 hit per 9 on the season. It's because of a 353 BABIP that should not stick around. His ICR is 42%, which is on the higher end, but he has a hit luck of plus 18. I mean, come on. His PLA is 267. That's pretty much the PLV equivalent to ERA based on how good your pitches are. PLV and PLA are directly correlated or inversely related. That is, PLV goes up, PLA goes down. Of course, yeah, he's really good. Mackenzie Gore kept his curveballs and his sliders down. Fastballs were up in the zone, effectively 70% strike rate on that. Same with the slider. Ah, what a dude. Just what a dude. You know, he's super, super good. And you should be holding on to Mackenzie Gore and getting him wherever you can. He's great. That is it for the first half of this podcast. You thought that was it? No. We got to take a break, and I'm going to talk about everybody else from Yesterday's Games and, of course, tomorrow's starters.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP439267V1.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Tyler Anderson went against the Yankees. 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 6 walks, and 4 Ks. It worked, 1 earned run in 5 innings as he did the neckbeard approach, but he did it so much, he really was just careful with everything, super out of the zone. The Yankees were pretty passive with it, so he got outs when he needed to and didn't give in. But it's the Padres and Astros next. I mean, I don't know, Tyler Anderson, I guess you're a Vargas rule still, even though it was 6 walks, like that was by design a bit. Yeah, I don't love it. Don't love it for Tyler Anderson with those next 2 starts, but I can see it working against the Padres and maybe even the Astros, but probably not. Braxton Garrett against the Padres, speaking of which, 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. He got the win. It was still sinker slider for the most part, and 0 for 12 CSW on his changeup is a little concerning. I would honestly go after other exciting things on the wire. I think there are just too many fun things at the moment, especially after yesterday's game, games. I think that Braxton Garrett just doesn't push the needle enough. Ty Block had a good outing, got the win, 7 innings, 200 runs, but this is a birthday party. You're not going to trust this one whatsoever. Paul Skenes looked dope, made us feel dope. 6 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts, 19 whiffs for a Gallows pole. You're going to see a lot of those from Paul Skenes over the day. And over the days, 44% CSW on his splinker, whatever you want to call that thing. It is unbelievable. It is near a 6 PLV. It's absolutely bonkers of a pitch. Paul Skenes has got the ace, is going to ace tag already. I mean, let's be honest. Like, you know that this is, that he's dope. Okay. Ryan Pepiot against the Athletics, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. It's really nice to see Pepiot have success as he had sliders and changeups well along the edges. There was a little bit more chaos with his four-seamer. It was also around the edges, but just a little bit more, variant. It was just kind of like out of the zone. Nope, that's a waste pitch. Nope, that's a waste pitch. Okay, cool. Here's a decent one. And here's the thing. The shape of that is really good. And as long as he's throwing enough effective sliders and changeups, Pepiot should have that four-seamer upstairs and dominate. I mean, he did here for the most part against the Athletics. David Peterson against the Dodgers returned from the IL to face the Dodgers, which is so cruel. But somehow you won 5 innings of 200 runs. That's great. 8 base runners, 3 Ks. I'm not seeing anything new. The slider is not the 25% plus swing strike rate of old. So we're not going to go after this, but hey, props to you, buddy. Chris Flexen was flexing in the mirror against the Jays. Actually, maybe on the beach because it was 200 runs in 5 innings. He squirmed his way through it. 9 base runners, 5 walks in there, 6 Ks. I don't believe this. No, we're not going to do this. Yu Darvish against the Miami Marlins. 3 innings of 200 runs because he had hamstring tightness. Oh, this was your Marlins start, your redemption from against the Yankees, and you got to, oh, man, that's so annoying. Because Darvish was so good for 4 starts after the IL, had to face the Yankees, whatever, and then he had hamstring tightness right now as he's back on the IL, probably. I mean, maybe they're just being precautionary here and he's not going to hit the IL. I don't know. It's annoying. I hope you're okay, Darvish. Frankie Montas got a poor quality start, so I gave myself a streaming victory. That's what chat said. I don't know if I really believe in that because if you're not in a quality start league, it is a loss because you got the loss of 4.5 ERA, a 1.33 whip, and 5 Ks. I think it's like the very edge of what is a streaming victory. So, yeah, don't go after Montas, really. It's just so boring. Bryce Wilson against the Cubs. He had one good start. And, don't go after Bryce Wilson. Spencer Schwellenbach. Ah, oh, Mr. Crescendo. If you got that one from yesterday, that is a swelling Bach when he does swells in music or a crescendo. So, Schwellenbach. Okay, you got a interesting fastball from Schmellenbach. It has solid VAA, nearly 7 feet of extension, but it has really bad IVB. It is at 96. I think this still could work, like the whole Wheeler thing. I like it for the most part as a good foundation. And watching it here, like, yeah, this is pretty good. However, he ran into some trouble where he allowed a single to Joey Gallo on a cutter that was right over the middle of the plate. That's how Gallo got it. Then he hit a batter who was trying to bunt and hit him in the face accidentally, and it was terrifying. And then he threw a fastball that was middle in and like middle heights for a 3-run shot after that. And it's just, oh, there he goes. You know, before that, I mean, that's 2 of the 5 hits he allowed and all 3-run runs. Pretty annoying. I do like his mix, though, a lot. He's got a really good, I think that cutter generally is very effective. The one he threw to Joey Gallo is terrible. But for the most part, that's like 91, biting in on lefties, really good. And then he saves a slider, which is also really good, to right-handers. There's also a curve in the mix as well. I think I saw 1 or 2 changeups too. I really like what he brings to the table. I think it is a very full pitch mix. So I would be in. And honestly, I think he could do well against the Red Sox in Fenway. I know that seems like a risk. You see the 300 runs, but that was really this stupid home run. Oh, man. One bad pitch kind of ruined the entire thing, and otherwise he was really good, Schwellenbach. He's also in a really good situation with Atlanta, so I would be considering holding on to Schwellenbach, but also monitor how the Braves are doing this, because you have Ray Kerr going today, not Reynaldo Lopez, he's going tomorrow, and they might stick with Kerr instead of Schwellenbach, so monitor that. Ryan Nelson against the Rangers, he's not where he needs to be. Kyle Harrison had 12 hits in 5 innings as he was singled out, but like, he did everything he was supposed to do, kind of, you know, and it's just not good enough. So there's that. I don't want to hold on to Kyle Harrison. We also saw Keydera Montero have his debut as a starter, and he pumped 95, 96 mile per hour fastballs at 31% CSW. Doesn't really have exceptional shape. It's a little bit worse, I would say, than Schwellenbach. More IVB, but worse extension, worse HAVA, attack angle. Slider was decent as a number two, but a low strike rate, sub 50%. And that's pretty much it. That's all he really has. So if Montero does have a more consistent slider moving forward, the four-seamer isn't terrible as he pitched against the Pirates, but it was 4 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, and 4.1 innings for Keydera Montero for the Tigers. And this was, of course, just for the doubleheader. But he does seem like the next guy, right? And instead of course, like Matt Manning, and we're still waiting for Job. So just keep an eye on Montero, and hopefully the slider does look good in AAA for us to say, like, hey, maybe we want to go back into Montero when he does come up next. Cutter Crawford against the Orioles. Yeah, it's been a couple starts of just not looking good. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Yeah, just not his best. It wasn't like he was just, oh no, I'm just horrible now. I mean, 6 base runners is actually pretty cool for Cutter Crawford. 5 Ks, it's just as the Orioles. The thing about Cutter Crawford to me is that he just doesn't have that extra gear to be like a true ace, right? I always feel as if he's getting by every time, but effectively because he has 3 good pitches, but no real true elite one. Jared Jones against the Tigers, this was so ridiculous. He got completely unlucky multiple times. The defense let him down. However, you only got, what was it? Oh yeah, 0 whiffs on his 4-seamer. 31 thrown and 0 from Jared Jones. That is so crazy. I don't know how. The shape was really good. Maybe he was just translating it as far as sequencing goes, and they were sitting on the right pitches, and they just went for it. It was a little bit softer on the fastball. Like, it was 96, not 97, but, like, Jared Jones should be completely overwhelming these Tigers batters who are traditionally terrible against 4-seamers. Like, what? It was so weird of a start. I know that Jared Jones hasn't been that, oh my gosh, unbelievable sauce for a bit. And for like 3-4 starts, really, you want to say. Like, he had 1 really good start and I want to say like 4 of the last 5 then. So I get your worry, but no, the skills are still there. It's weird. It's weird right now, and I hate weird. And when it's weird, I just go back to whatever I thought before. Bailey Ober against the Royals, 6 earned runs in 5 innings. Oh man, he had a trio of home runs, 2 on-heaters over the plate, but upstairs and a hung cutter. Honestly, like, he allowed home runs. It happens. I'm not really worried about Bailey Ober. I think he's still really good. Same thing with Imanaga. He allowed a pair of home runs, and he had a really bad third inning. I'm surprisingly in return 1 strikeout. And honestly, this was more of the same from Imanaga. Like, 4-seamers were where they were supposed to be. Splitters were where they were supposed to be. You know, like, what are you going to do? I'm buying low if someone thinks that this is just going to disappear now. Like, no, you just had a bad game because regression happens like that. Well, So it goes. And Logan Allen, yeah, no way against the against Colorado and Coors. It was 7 runs in 1.2 innings, and I think we just do not go after Logan Allen moving forward. Looking forward to today's games. Today's and tomorrow's, I should say. Remember, Ray Kerr is going today, not Reynaldo Lopez. And also, Brady Singer is not starting for the Royals. He's on the, he was shifted to the IL. You have David Lynch, the fourth, going instead. Both those guys you don't need to go for. Ray Kerr maybe does well against the Nationals. I have him above, like, Sandoval, Patrick Sandoval, Colin Wright, Daniel Lynch, and Kyle Muller. But, yeah, I don't really feel like you need to do it. Maybe he does look overwhelmingly good and then fights for that spot over Schwellenbach. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We have Aaron Nola, Tanner Houck, Dylan Cease, Ronel Blanco, Brian Wu, Marcus Stroman, Reynaldo Lopez. All is very clear auto starts. And Jose Berríos gets the Pirates. You know you're going to do that. Okay. Pablo Lopez gets the Astros. And I have him probably start because he lost his aces. Ace is going to ace tag and it's the Astros. I hope you do it, man. I really hope your slider and changeup are good. And you get back in that groove. You have Tanner Bibee against the Nationals, Walker Buehler against the Rockies. These are pretty good start matchups here. You have Jordan Montgomery against the Mets. And you have Jose Soriano as my stream pick of the day because somehow he's just 9% rostered. Only 14% in Yahoo. What are you doing? Just get Jose Soriano. This is a great stream against the Mariners. Questionable start to you have Jordan Hicks. Oh, it's the Yankees. Unfortunate. So we don't really know how that's going to go. Albert Suarez against the Rays. I like it, but also Albert Suarez has a four-seamer that sometimes works and then sometimes it disappears. So we'll see there. But it is a decent win chance if he can go five. You have Michael Walker against the Padres. His command has been better. Javier Saad, I feel like it's the end of the line of the Vargas rule as he gets the Reds is like the last hurrah, hopefully. And hopefully he gets back into it. Eric Fetty gets the Brewers, sure. Luis Severino against the Diamondbacks. That could be six innings, whatever. Tobias Myers against the White Sox. I'm very intrigued by this one. Because I think Tobias Myers has actually really good skills. How long is he going to go? And is he going to come out properly? Is he going to be kitchen sink? Is he going to be able to locate his four-seamer upstairs appropriately? It is the White Sox, though. So this could be a very interesting one that transitions into Tobias Myers being someone that we talk about more enthusiastically. Jose Urania gets the Marlins. And maybe he sneaks a win there because it's Jose Urania with veteran magic. Bailey Falter could do decently well against the Jays. J.P. Sears, maybe he's going breaking ball heavy and moving away from the four-seamer. He gets the against Atlanta. Kenta Maeda against the Red Sox, whatever. Same with Aaron Civale, who's just not finding his groove again. And now he gets the Orioles. Not fun there. And do not start is Graham Ashcraft, Miles Michaelis, Patrick Corbin, Dakota Hudson, and Sixto Sanchez because obviously. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening. My name is Zach Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your string outs high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean Lafoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.